Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Sound.
Reflection. Let me get myself a little bit more together. Thought that song was actually going to be a little longer. In any event, I hope everyone within the sound of my voice is doing wonderfully. I hope that you're enjoying your summertime. I know summer's, you know, winding down for some folks, but y'all down south got a lot of heat to deal with. I was down in South Carolina. Hubby Lish and I were in South Carolina again, yes. When was this? 2 weeks ago. We did the wonderful Columbia House Music Project weekend, and we provided the headphone party on Friday night on the beach at Charleston, just yards away from where more enslaved Africans were dropped off in America than any other port. So it's a very interesting time whenever we're there. Last year was the first time that we did it, and the weather was crazy. It was a beautiful, hot, sunny day, but it was so windy, and the sand was just beating us up. I mean, literally, it was everywhere. At one point, I had a whole towel over my head because I had sand everywhere, in my mouth, in my ears, up my nose, in my eyes. It was everywhere. This year, the Universal Creatures Creator found it fit to just keep it real nice and calm for us. I was very grateful for that because I'm telling you, last year was enough to make you not want to go back. But I'm glad that we did go back. You know, we're building our brand, Frequency One-on-One headphone events. You know, the times are changing, family. You know, Audible, big, loud Audible festivals in this country are fleeting, okay? Now, not saying that you might not be able to catch a Cody Chestnut concert, but when it comes to people of color, especially black people getting together in folly and fun and love and dance, the establishment has issues with that. And so more and more of our festivals have been, you know, being canceled or they get disrupted. You know, they'll give them the permit. They start the event. They have the event halfway through. Here comes the police. You can't do that. So my husband is very ingenious, and he decided to purchase a slew of wireless headphones, alkaline battery, not lithium, because y'all know lithium will blow up and catch fire if you leave it wherever the hell it is for too long. So our headphones are very, very safe. The sound is incredible, and you have your own private event wherever you are. And we can do it anywhere. So we go to the beach. We can go to the mountains. You could be on a ski slope. Honey, you could be anywhere, anywhere, anywhere. So we had a wonderful time. Big shout out to DJ Kelly Kell, DJ Cat in the Hat, Big Brother James, and the whole entire crew of the Columbia House Music Project. It's a wonderful movement that they have going on in the South for house music, which, if you don't know, house music is one of the most beautiful, loving types of music that you can enjoy. You can dance, you can work out, you can clean your house, you can take a long drive, you can work out, you can do whatever. The house music, it's peaceful, it's loving music. And more of it is spreading. And it's interesting because every time when I was on tour in Europe, specifically with, you know, Louis Vega or even the Black Rock Coalition Orchestra, house music is huge in Europe. And even in Africa, they have these humongous festivals with 60,000, 70,000 people. Now, I know that they also had the Chosen Few picnic in Chicago at the beginning of July, where you might get about 100,000 people. That is a wonderful, beautiful event. So I'm glad that that's also able to continue to happen. You know, unfortunately, the Winter Music Conference, which would occur in March in Miami at South Beach, totally infiltrated by other people that just, I don't know, to me, the music lost its soul at the Winter Music Conference. It became very techno and very European. It wasn't as fly as it used to be. So we stopped going to that, basically. So, yeah, you know, we just, you know, create our own moments. Big shout out to Joe Black, our cousin, who does all the hotel reservations for the Columbia House Music Project and for us, for our events as well. We have a big event going on this Saturday in the Poconos in East Charlesburg. It's called The Gathering. It's going to be held at Mad Apples. Mad Apples is on Seven Bridge Road, right in East Charlesburg. Look it up. But The Gathering is on and popping. It's a free event. We're bringing out the beast for that. But that's a humongous sound system that gives you the best sound you've ever heard in your life. So we are looking forward to this Saturday. But I'm grateful because every event that we have had outdoors this summer has been extremely successful. We have had sunny days and beautiful weather. So I'm just really, really grateful. You know, we also did our headphone party on the beach in Atlantic City. That's an annual event we do as well. Amazing. Everybody came out, had a blast. And where do you go where you can get a party all day for $10? You got people out here now trying to charge $60 for a party. What? I was like, and do I get a meal and a drink with that? Do I get my own table with that? I'm just saying, $60 for a house music party. We are still keeping it real and raw. We're doing stuff for like $10, $20 max. We really are not trying to break anybody's bank. It is really just about coming together and having a wonderful time. So I just had to talk about that because even in the travels that we had, you know, driving from the top of Pennsylvania down to South Carolina, especially Charleston. It's like a 12-hour drive. And, you know, we do it. We make it happen. We see a lot of things along the way. We see people driving absolutely recklessly. We see horrible accidents. You know, we narrowly avoided death ourselves when they had a road crew in the middle of the road with no cones, no announcement, no flashing lights, no nothing. No nothing. That was amazing. Like, we saw our lives flash before our eyes. My husband was definitely a little shook up for at least the next hour while we continued to drive back home. So y'all be careful out there on the road, okay? If your last name is not Earnhardt or Andretti, please don't try it, especially when it's raining. Nowadays, people don't know how to drive when it's raining. They act like it's dry. Baby, it is not the same condition. You got to slow down when it's raining, especially when it first starts raining, because that's when you get the beating up of the water on the ground because of the oil that's naturally on the tar from all the cars driving all day. Like, come on, we got to do better, man. In any event, thank you all for joining me tonight. I see some of you already in the queue. Welcome, welcome. Hey, 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 hey. It is my honor and pleasure to be here with you tonight. Oh, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Hubby Liz and I also celebrated our 2-year wedding anniversary. That was awesome. Yay! Big shout out to Hubby Liz. I love my husband. He's amazing. Also, just this past weekend, we held the memorial for my dear, dear best friend, Mary Wormworth. It was a wonderful memorial. You know, I keep saying, there's nothing like a black funeral, okay? Because Mary was an entertainer and an artist, you know, she graduated from music in our high school. She went to Berkeley. She went to school with the likes of, I think his name is Wendell Holmes. Then you have Branford Marsalis, like all these amazing musicians, and everybody came out for her memorial. It was beautiful. It was beautiful because we really lost an angel, but we gained an angel. Okay, and that's how I like to look at it. So I give a shout-out to the Wormworth family, very musically talented and gifted family, and beautiful people, and I know that they are definitely mourning the loss of their sister and daughter. And I'm mourning the loss of my best friend. But life goes on, right? And I know she's around me. I know she's around all of us. You know, we are spirits and we are energy people. You know, energy cannot be destroyed. It is just transformed into another type of energy, but it cannot be destroyed. And so I know that her soul is eternal, as are all of our souls. But we got to cherish life. We got to love real hard, family. There's a lot of craziness going on. You can see it. I'm going to get into a little bit of it tonight. You know, I haven't been on for a few weeks because I really wanted to enjoy my vacation in summertime with my husband. When I do this show for you all, I am gathering data almost every day. I'll disappear from him for a few hours and go and write notes and what have you. So I really try to prepare for you all when I do this show. And I don't get a check for it. I know I'm probably gaining my little points in heaven for making sure to bring relevant information to my people. But I just wanted to have some time with my husband and enjoy the summer. Summertime is not that long where we live. And, you know, I just wanted to make sure that we had time to spend with each other and, you know, just to be. It's a wonderful thing just to be. And I was also, as I mentioned before, you know, mourning the death of my friend. And there's a lot of stuff going on. And so it was nice to kind of be able to unplug for a little while and just be and just create and just love. And I just encourage all of you to love. Love yourself. Love your significant others. Love your family members. Sometimes we have static in the family. Sometimes, you know, we don't get along that well or whatever. But still, love your sisters and brothers. Love your family. You know, if you share blood and they are sane, hello, love them. Even if you're loving them from afar. But just love them, because tomorrow isn't promised to any of us. And, you know, I'm a lovey-dovey type of person. My husband and my friends know this all too well. I do not hang up the phone without saying I love you to whomever I'm speaking to. And, or I'll say one love, you know, if we're not that close. But even in a professional relationship, I wish people love. Love is the strongest vibration in this entire universe, and we can conquer all evil, all negativity and hatred and bigotry and injustice and racism with love. But it starts with love of self. And you can't love anybody else until you love yourself. So, you know, whoever needed to hear that, I hope that you received it and know that I love you. And I have hope and I have faith in this human race. And I have faith in my people. I know that we are an amazing, beautiful, wonderful, creative, highly, highly intelligent people. And we have created every other race of people on this planet. So when it comes to racial disharmony and craziness that we're seeing going on with Ron DeSantis in Florida and different things that may come out of Trump's mouth and other people when they show their true colors, I'm like, all you're saying is that you really hate your grandmother, because as black folk, we made everybody. Everybody came from us. Everyone. And that can never be overstated. Every human being on this planet comes from black people. So we have to stop this nonsense. You know, I know a lot of white people who are absolutely wonderful, loving and kind and patient. I have black girlfriends married to white men. I've got white male friends married to black women. You know, we have a lot of beige people, hello, on this planet. And so some of what I hear in the media, they want to make it as if it's 60, 70 years ago. Boo-boo, it's not. So much has happened in a small time frame with regard to interracial relationships and marriages and what have you. So, and children, hello. So it gets really banal and it gets very stupid when you hear white people trying to tell black people, go back where you came from. I'm from here. This is my land. You are the one that stole my land. You can go back to Europe if that's what you want to do, but let us not change the narrative. This is the land of black people, the black Native American, who's been here way before the Asian, quote-unquote, Native American. I keep saying it. I'm going to say it till I'm dead. Black folk have been in this entire hemisphere, from Canada to South America, for over 50,000 years, family. This is why knowledge is so important. And you can see very well why they want to change the narrative on slavery. They want to change the narratives in history because, number one, it's not overly flattering to a European. But I'm like, the truth is the truth, whether it's ugly or pretty. The truth is the truth, and you got to take it. And it's only one truth. So it's a lot is going on, and we just have to make sure we breathe, stay calm, connect with nature. You know, I had a wonderful time being in the ocean. I went to the ocean in New Jersey. I only went up to my ankles, but still, I put my feet in the water. I had a little conversation with Yemaya, the entity of the top of the ocean. And then when we were in Charleston, right there on the shore where our ancestors came in, I kept reflecting over what it felt like to come off of a slave ship onto a new land with a new set of stars, even though we always knew the stars, which is where you get the song Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and there's a few other songs where they're talking about the Big Dipper and following the Big Dipper and the North Star to get away from being enslaved. Okay, yes, we were astronomers. We knew all about the stars. So when I was in South Carolina at Charleston at the beach, I went in up to my thighs. I didn't go swimming because my husband and I were working, but I did manage to get in the water, and he got in the water too, you know, and the water was like bathtub warm. You know, I will be talking about global warming a little bit later in the show. But, yeah, it's alive and well. But it was a very spiritual experience. At one point, we had like an almost full moon, and it was just glistening over the ocean right where we were. Right where we were. It was a very magical moment. And everybody was dancing, and they had their headphones on and having a good time. But everyone seemed to acknowledge that moment. It was a beautiful spiritual moment. So, again, I say, you know, summer's been great. But when I look at what they seem to be purporting in the news and in different places and spaces, it just goes so far against what's really real. You know, because even, you know, racism is a construct. I don't give it a lot of power. It is a construct that was created in order for a certain group of people to have hierarchy over everyone else, which is absolutely the exact opposite of ancient African science. We would never do that. And maybe that's one of the reasons why we did get subjugated, because we were not a control freak, maniacal, egotistical entity. We knew that the earth was everyone's to enjoy. We didn't believe in owning land, per se. We just knew it was land and it was there. So when colonization begins, you get a whole new different vibration and a whole different construct as to what's going to happen in that land space and in those territories. You get a completely, completely different version of what's to be. And we're still living under that today. So we have to push back against that. A lot of that energy is a Piscean energy. It goes with the age of Pisces, which is, you know, the two fish swimming in two different directions. It's a disunifying energy. It's not about oneness. It's not about peace. It is about struggle and confusion and mind games. You know, and those types of things. But now we are moving through the beginning of the age of Aquarius, and that energy cannot stand up. It cannot. And so what we are seeing, you know, melanin-dominant people and melanated people are adjusting quite well to the heat and the solar flares that are happening. We have had several solar flares in the last few days. If they reach the capacity of a CME, meaning like a major coronal mass ejection, our entire electrical grid will fry faster than a piece of bacon. But because melanin-dominant people can interact with even ultraviolet rays, we're okay. I was laying out in the sun. I got a nice tan, honey. I got a nice tan. I love when I get my tan on. Y'all know I love when I get my tan on. But yeah, I got nice and chocolatey and, you know, felt wonderful inside. Felt great. I still feel great. You know, I get energized by the sun. So, thing, because if you are, I'm not saying a thing, but I'm using this in a juxtaposical way. If you are a thing on the planet Earth that cannot survive sunlight, there's something wrong. There's something just a little bit off, because everything can thrive in the sun. The animals are thriving in the sun. Plants and flora and fauna and what have you are, you know, thriving in the sun. So if you are an entity that cannot thrive in the sun, you might need to look at that. All right, so this is heavy. I'm going to go into some things. Just try to stay with me because I got a lot to try to catch up on, but real talk. Okay, now, most recently, the Alabama GOP has defied, yes, I said defied, the Supreme Court decision to expand voting districts for black residents. Now, y'all know there's a heap of black folk in Alabama, okay? We have cousins that live in Alabama, and they have friends, and we visited, and everybody black. I'm just saying. But when it comes to the maps that are used, you know, as they like to have fun with that gerrymandering, they don't have voting districts expanded in areas that are predominantly black. So the Supreme Court has the Alabama GOP to expand these districts. Alabama said, no, we're not. Now, I want to know how this is going to bode, basically, because who gets to defy a Supreme Court decision? Now, the map that the GOP had prior to the vote was found to be discriminatory against black voters. And so by continuing this, it ensures the GOP majority. The fight continues, okay? the GOP continues to disregard the Supreme Court's decision on redistricting. But I know that you have Democratic people in Alabama that are fighting tooth and nail, because where your district maps are drawn around certain neighborhoods will also affect how many delegates you get to have in that district. So if you don't have any in any black residential districts, then that means that those people have no power. And so this is what they're fighting for. But I think it's very bold for the Alabama GOP to disregard the Supreme Court. So we're going to see how that all plays out. But in the meantime, I don't know how many of you have seen the video, which has now gone viral, the brawl that happened at the Alabama riverfront by the ferry. I believe it was this past weekend. And I watched the entire video several times because, you know, I want to make sure what I'm seeing is what I'm seeing. Sometimes you can see something one time and you think one thing, but then you watch it again a couple of times, you really, really get to see. Now, this is kind of heavy. You had a boat full of white people coming in, and they were docking their vessel where they were not permitted or allowed to dock. Now, I may use some terminology that you all might not recognize. I'm going to try to keep it as simple as I can. I myself have grown up on the water. Myself and my family belonged to one of the only, second actually, black yacht clubs in New York. And so I've been sailing all my life. I know how to pilot boats. I know how to do the whole nine. So I'm watching these white people come in and dock their boat where they are not permitted or allowed to dock, because that is the dock slip for the ferry, the big, huge paddle boat ferry that goes in and out all day long, and people buy tickets and go on the ferry, okay? So they had like a little pontoon boat. It wasn't even a major vessel. Probably didn't even have a bathroom on it. We had a bathroom. They docked the boat. The dock mat, now before, wait, let's rewind. Before they even docked the vessel, the dock master, who happened to be a brother, was instructing them that they could not dock there. He was like, you can see him motioning for them to move to go somewhere else. And at one point, he even went to take the ropes off. Okay, because they came in, they docked, they roped up everything. No, we don't do that. We're not allowed to do that. Sailing all my life. If we ever disobeyed a dock master, you could go to jail. And when you come to a dock, whether you're familiar with it, or unless you're a member of that yacht club or that boat club, you must receive permission to dock your boat. So it was very obvious to everyone around the incident, the people on the ferry, people on the dock up high waiting for the next ferry, and people who were just chilling out by the riverfront, that this vessel was not supposed to be docking where it was docking. But maybe they had a burst of white privilege and felt, I'm going to dock my boat right here. And just because I got a big black man in my face who works here and tells me I can't dock here, I'm going to do it anyway. So you can see that the brother continues to tell them, you need to move your vessel. You are not permitted to dock here. The ferry docks here. So the ferry is now several yards away, maybe like 100 yards away, waiting to dock, but it's not going to come in because there's a vessel and it slipped. Anyway, things begin to escalate. You see the dock master telling one of the white men, you got to move the boat. I don't care what you do, but you got to move the boat. You can't stay here. Now, when another white man comes running up, a shirtless white man in shorts, comes running up and pushes and attacks the black male dockmaster, like literally out of the blue, a fight ensues. They tussle, so on and so forth. it was heavy because he pushed the black man. The brother looked at him like, oh, word. He turned his hat to the back and then took it off and flew it up in the air, and the fight was on. Now, then you have other white people who were on the vessel running over to continue to accost and assault the black dock master. Meanwhile, brother man is just trying to do his job. It almost reminded me of the insurrection of the Capitol. In any event, he's just trying to do his job. So now he's got like 5-6 white folks on him, including a couple of Beckys, and he is doing his best to stay alive and try to get them off of him. Now, at this point in time, other brothers begin to see what's going on, and they begin to run down the gangplank, down up the dock to help him out. There was one young brother, I think he also worked for the ferry because he had on the same outfit, which was a royal blue shirt with like dark gray or black pants. In any event, this young brother, who was 16 years old, by the way, jumps off of the ferry and swims like an Olympian to the dock, gets up on the dock, and then begins to handle his business with these other white people who have now ganged up on this dock master. Yo, it got out of control. It was a brawl of brawls. Then you have the Beckys that are kind of trying to jump in. So then you saw a couple of younger, way more athletic, young black women get into it. They tore Becky up. Becky got tore up, okay? They were throwing white people in the water, okay? They were making sure that they stood their ground because from the get-go, the white people were wrong. I am not trying to necessarily make this an issue of color, but it is what it is. And because he was assaulted first by these white folks, brothers and sisters came to the rescue. So, in my mind, it's apparent that, you know, we're more united than they think and sometimes more than we think. You know, you do have those of us that say, oh, black people, we're not united. We're da, da, da. No, no, no. I saw unification like a mofo on that dock. Okay, they were tossing them white folks in the water. Like, whatever. Like, you're not going to do this. You're not going to do this. And I know several people were arrested on both sides, but, and you have people right now that are trying to find out further information so they can pay money to bail out some of the black people who may have been arrested. But I'm seeing a lot of unity around this situation because, again, Brother Man was just trying to do his job. And he was physically assaulted. Now, maybe the white people were drunk. Maybe they were feeling invincible. I don't know what they were feeling. But I know what they felt when they were finished. Hurt. They were black and blue, black eyes, ripped hair. They were tore up. They really did not want the smoke. The smoke came. They were like, uh-oh. At one point, you see a barrage of brothers walking towards the white men as the white men now begin to flee and run like they're going to just get on their boat and be okay. Oh, no, no, no. The brothers went to the boat. Then the white woman in the green jumpsuit wants to run to the back of the boat. Meanwhile, you were up hitting on the brother. You were up trying to hit him and assault him, but now you're running to the back of the boat. You know what? It was deep. It was really, really deep. The young 16-year-old brother who swam, he has now been dubbed the name Aquaman. Not Aquaman, but Aquaman. I'm telling you, he swam like an Olympian. It was amazing. And to see us together to help defend one of us was a beautiful sight to see. I'm not condoning violence. That is not what's happening right now. But I'm just trying to say, especially to the white people of Alabama, please don't try us. Okay? Don't try us. You don't want to smoke, baby. And it's interesting because, you know, the video's gone viral. It's even made its way to some mainstream media news outlets, but they're not showing the whole thing. And they're definitely not going to show a bunch of black folks whooping white folks' ass. They're not going to show that. Sorry. And I'm not trying to offend anyone in the show. Okay? I am not. But they're not going to show that. The narrative has to still be that we're a minority, even though, you know what? We're not the minority. Did you know that there are more black people on this entire planet than there are white people? We are a majority. And just so, or just because we may, there may not be as many of us in certain sections of the planet, doesn't mean that we are not the majority of the people on the planet. And so I'm going to say it one more time, because I will never refer to myself as a minority. I am not minor in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and neither are you. But we are not a minority. And they don't want to smoke, because if all the black Dominicans and the black Puerto Ricans and the black Indians and the black Caribbeans and the blah, 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 if we all come under the umbrella of black, guess what, America? We're the majority. It's just that you have diced and sliced and put people in these little tiny categories. Oh, no, you're Dominican. Oh, you're Puerto Rican. Oh, no, no. Okay, so you're Honduran. You're really, if we're all here in America for generations, okay, Panamanians, Belizeans, if we've been here for generations and we were black then, we're black now, so we're the majority. And we just have to really also get that into our psyche, okay? There will never be a white person that can point at me and call me a minority. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know where we are. So a lot of these little misnomers are being torn to shreds these days because more and more of us are enlightened. More and more of us are into knowledge and intellectualism. More and more of us are buying books and creating whole libraries. More and more of us are attending lectures and becoming members of certain groups. More and more of us are becoming more conscious. More and more of us are cutting out red meat and not eating so much animal flesh and eating more vegetation and fruits and what have you. More and more of us are working out. More and more of us are meditating. So there was never a question as to whether or not we were a force to be reckoned with. We've always been a force to be reckoned with. It's just that we are a most benevolent force. You know, it's like back in the day when I was in school. I'm not going to get into a fight, but if you hit me, we're going to be fighting. That's how we are. Most of us don't just come out and attack people and stuff like that. Yeah, you got some mentally deranged folks that do things. But most of us who are civilized, because we are the creators of civilization and being civil, we don't act that way. We're not antagonistic. We're very peaceful. But like a Buddhist monk, come at me and you're going to have a problem. May even take a vow of silence, but touch him and he's going to whip your ass quietly. Native Americans, black Native Americans, we're all over the place. I saw a lot of us when I was down south. I see it when I look at my husband's face and my husband's family's face. So you got to know who you are. You know, you can't ever accept the diluted version of what somebody else says that you are. Because if it's up to them, they're going to make you smaller than them so that they are more powerful than you, Nicole, and stupid. But if you're a little bit less than and you're melanin recessive and your gene pool isn't that strong, you might feel some type of way. And it might lead you to lie. It might lead you to behave like a Ron DeSantis in Florida talking about slavery was beneficial to black people. Have mercy, Jesus, and I'm glad I don't live in Florida. I might want to go to his house just to have a chat. Nothing violent. But it is absurd to say such a thing. And it's even more absurd to change your educational curriculum to try and substantiate that lie. So for the record, I'm going to say it again. because, you know, it's been a topic of conversation for the last few weeks now. Just because I haven't been on Blog Talk Radio doesn't mean I haven't been talking. Hello. So we must realize the enslaved Africans and the enslaved Native Americans all had skills. Why would you kidnap an idiot? Why would you spend all this money to corral hundreds of people onto a boat to navigate across the ocean to come to this quote-unquote new world? Would you do that with a bag of idiots? No, you would not. You would leave an idiot where they were. No, the people who were kidnapped and enslaved, whether they were kidnapped and enslaved from Africa, from the Caribbean, or right here in the U.S. of A., as Native Americans who were just a bit dark, and they were like, oh, we're going to misname them as Negro and enslave them, were all highly intelligent entities, very smart people, builders with trade skills. We have these skills. For God's sake, we have empires all over the planet, whether it is in ancient Kemet, Sudan, Ethiopia, all the way to Mali, Burkina Faso, Ghana. We have major empires, Nigeria, Niger, Cameroon. I'm not going to name every single country because there's a lot. But we've been builders and makers and creators for tens of thousands of years, all the way over here. You know how many pyramids are in North America? The largest pyramid in North America is called Monk's Mound. It's outside of Chicago in Illinois. We built that as Native American peoples. When you go down to Mexico, also known as Mexico, and you see Tulum, and you see the Mayans and the Aztec culture and all the pyramids, the pyramid of the sun, the pyramid of the moon. We built that. Mexico is called Mexico because it's named after a black African king named King Mexi, M-E-X-I. That's how you get the name Mexico. But is it? So it's Mexico. Don't get me started. That's what I keep saying. Education is the key to life because knowledge is power and power is freedom. And you can't be free if you're dumb. So you got to have knowledge. It should be your number one pursuit. Money comes second. Because if I have knowledge, I can always make money. But if I have money and I don't have knowledge, I'm going to go broke. Think about that for a second. So, again, kudos to my brothers and sisters in Alabama who came to the defense of your brother. He needed your help, and you helped. And I am grateful for that. And I'm going to state a comment from one of the videos that I saw of one of the white boys who got two black eyes in the brawl. He said, wow, who knew the 60-year-old man could still throw? He had two black eyes. They were so black, they were purple. He caught the smoke. He was astounded. He got his ass whooped by a 60-year-old. Come now, ever underestimate us. Don't ever, ever, ever underestimate us. It's not going to be pretty. And for anyone out there who might be of the Caucasian persuasion, do not allow yourself to be baited and goaded into a race war with people of color in this nation. It will not be good. Don't even think about it. Do not let individuals like a Donald Trump or a Rudy Giuliani or any of these other assholes, pardon my vernacular, that A, could never even take a punch, let alone throw a punch, put you in a position where you want to become violent against people of color because you're afraid. Fear is the lowest vibration on the planet. And maybe you don't know, but hate is a little bit higher than fear. Fear is the bottom because you can't hate anything that you're not afraid of. Why would you hate anything or anyone? The reason why you may hate someone is really because you're afraid of them. So love is the highest, fear is the lowest. Find your position. But do not think that in the time frame, not just of 2023, but the beginning of the age of Aquarius, that the universal Most High is going to let you win at this point, because the odds are against you. So don't bring it. Don't even do it. You know, we have a lot more energy. Again, we're beaming up from the sun. The children are strong. The children are intelligent. I just saw a report that three little young black girls, all under the age of 5, excuse me, have higher IQs than Albert Einstein and Stephen Hawking. And they're not even 7 years old yet. We're beaming up. As others may seem to be disintegrating, we are beaming up. All be safe out there. And again, to any white people who feel that they're going to subdue, subjugate, beat up on, attack any of us, you're going to want to think again. You're going to want to think again. All right, moving on. On to Mr. Crazy. Y'all know I talk about Mr. Crazy a lot. Who's Mr. Crazy? Mr. Crazy is Donald John Trump. That's Mr. Crazy. Up, down, inside, out, every which way, crazy. And he remains in the spotlight. In some ways, I know, because he's a narcissist. He's a narcissist. He has the potential to be a sociopath, but I don't think he has the balls to really go all the way through. But he talks a lot of crap. And so now we are up to indictment 3, okay? Indictment 3. Indictment 3, okay? Indictment soon. This is his 3rd indictment. The next one's coming next week. But anyway, the most recent indictment is with regard to the insurrection on January 6th. That was amazing. Even as we continue to see footage and what have you from the January 6th committee, you know, they're still under investigation and they are still putting folks in jail. Okay? Now, that's this though. And this is where it gets stupid for me. Because I don't believe in emperors and a ruler. I don't have a ruler. I don't have an emperor. This is not that type of society at all, okay? We're supposed to be a democratic republic. We are not a monarchy or a dictatorship, even though I know he's itching for either one. But that's not what is happening over here. In any event, yeah, you got thousands of gullible people who, you know, went out to follow him and took his orders and, you know, committed grievous offenses against the Capitol building and specific offices within the Capitol building. We were talking about this just the other day, even with my stepson, and I said, you have to pan back. You know, like when you're using a microscope or a telescope, you got to pan back sometimes and look at the whole thing for what it is. Now, it's bad enough that you had thousands of people wreaking havoc on the United States Capitol January 6th, 2021. Okay? Flag poles with spears on the ends of them and all types of assault weapons and what have you. You know, they came ready. They had on bulletproof vests and helmets and all kind of stuff. But do you not agree that you can take it a bit too far when you actually defecate and urinate inside of the offices of the U.S. Capitol building? Now, I am, quote unquote, an African-American woman. In my mind, black folk have the most reason to want to do anything, anywhere, to any Capitol building in any state of this nation because of what we continue to go through, what we have gone through, and what our ancestors went through. But it wasn't us. We don't do that. Again, we're more benevolent. We really don't do that. We're not going to join together and try to wreak havoc on the Capitol building because we didn't get our way. We're not going to do that. But I need to go a step further because I know even if it had been black people, Lord knows we would have got shot before we got the steps. But I'm just saying, just hypothetically, in another realm, in another world, even if it was black folk that did such a thing, ain't nobody taking a shit in Nancy Pelosi's office. No one is going to urinate in the building. We don't do that. Like, who does that? So in my mind, it's a prime example of the psyche of certain people in this nation. Because that's a psychological disorder as far as I'm concerned. There's something wrong with you if you decide to go in, drop trowel, and just dump, take a dump in someone's office wall. To me, that lends itself to a lot of material that I've read. You know, a big shout out to Michael Bradley, who wrote Iceman Inheritance, which is the origin of homosexuality, bestiality, and violence. The origin, which is white people in ICE. I'm just saying, get the book yourself. It casts light on the barbaric nature of certain people, not all. I will never say all, because I know some of the flyest, most beautiful people who share the same skin color as those individuals. But for God's sake, it's bad enough that you assaulted Capitol police officers. In my mind, they too had nothing to do with what it was that you all were trying to do. So to assault them, beat them, kill them, was, again, very barbaric. But once you breach the entryway and you are past the rotunda and you've gone up certain stairs or down certain stairs or whatever and you find yourself in certain officials' offices, to take it upon yourself to take a shit or pee is barbaric. It's inhumane to me. There's something wrong. And so I can look at that attempted assault on the black dock master in Alabama who was just trying to do his job. And the next thing you know, he's covered in white people, men and women, beating and pounding on him. For what? It can't just be because he told you you can't dock your boat there. No, it's because he was black. Period. There's an interesting experiment that's been done on Instagram and online. Two men, one white, one black. Both of them appear to be blind. They have white blind walking sticks, etc. This experiment was done in Europe. I think it was Germany. I'm not sure. It could have been Austria. In any event, each man is walking, and then they reach out to grab the arm of a pedestrian. Mind you, you know, they can't see. So they just reach out to grab the pedestrian's arm for help. In every single instance, when the white man reached out for help, the other white people helped him. When the black people reached out to help, the white people not only ignored him, but they actually appeared to be disgusted that they were even touched by him. This is how far this racism shit has gone. Now, the man is supposed to be blind. He doesn't know who he's grabbing. But yet, when this dark brown-skinned brother grabs the arm of any of the other white pedestrians, he is immediately shunned. They push away from him. They look at him as if he's disgusting when he's just a blind person. So, again, I say, we got a lot of work to do. And we cannot allow, we cannot allow our narrative to be distorted with this beneficial stupidity. We can't allow our narrative to be distorted, and we cannot allow the lie to persist. It's all right, it's storming. It's up to us to truly set the narrative straight, as calm as possible. Because I know, had it have been a white male dock master, Bobo would have moved the boat immediately. I know it. So we have work to do. And we cannot allow any of the Ron DeSantis of the world to rewrite our story. Our story is only our story, and it's only an ugly of their people. So we cannot allow for our story to be distorted. We can't allow it. And for those of you who like to say, that, oh, the black people in Africa sold their people out, and they didn't come for them, and they this and they that, I want you to please be quiet. I want you to do more research. I want you to learn and understand and understand and understand that many of our black lied to. In some instances, the Europeans got the African leaders drunk, and when they fell asleep, they just started stealing people. In many instances, you did have other Africans try to come after the white man and come after the ships and try to retrieve some of us. You did have wars and battles and fights. It was not a docile thing. It was not, oh, yes, you can have them. It was not. So I'd like for that narrative to be squashed, because when I hear it, it makes my blood boil. We were not like them. We did not do that. And the other narrative that I'd like to express is that, yes, you had African people that had indentured servants. Now, people want to call them slaves. The only people who might have been slaves were people who had committed a crime, and them working for free for a certain family or a certain group of people for a period of time was their payback for the crime they had committed. Mind you, in no way, shape, form, or fashion was it chattel slavery. African indentured servant providers did not have sex or rape their indentured servants. They did not beat them. They educated them. They ate healthy food. They had clean quarters. They were not treated like animals. The American slave trade was the most heinous type of slavery ever. It was chattel slavery. It was inhumane. It was subhuman in some instances. And yet what bugs me out is that you still had slave masters and overseers raping enslaved women and men. But we're supposed to be three-fifths of a human. We're supposed to be an animal, which then proves my other point. Because you still have a lot of white people today that had sex with animals. I think, what was it, a Yale professor? Either Harvard or Yale professor, just a week ago, was arrested for having sex with his dog in the park. And he was filming it. While he's filming himself have sex with his dog, the park has surveillance cameras. So they're filming him having sex with his dog. This is a top professor at Harvard University. Let that marinate. Like, come on. In any event, as I get back to the saga of Donald Trump, it's very interesting because he continues to lash out at his judges, at Special Counsel Jack Smith. He continues to talk about Attorney General Alvin Bragg. He calls Attorney General Alvin Bragg an animal. You can't tell me that this crazy man is not racist. I'm sorry, you can't. It's clear and it's apparent. Everybody working at between Bedminster and Mar-a-Lago are little Spanish people, little brown Spanish people. But you call the Attorney General of New York State an animal. You call this new judge, baby, Judge Chutkin. She is a black Jamaican woman, all right? Her family comes from a line of very intelligent black people, okay? Her brother is a doctor. I think her father was a lawyer. They come from a line of highly intelligent black people because, again, a lot of families in the Caribbean knew full well because, again, slavery was worse in the Caribbean. You were on an island that you could not get off of. There was nowhere to go. Unless you could stow away in someone else's ship, there was nowhere for you to go. See, in America, enslaved individuals had the opportunity to go north. Even if it was hundreds of miles, if they could get there, they'd become free. You didn't have that in the Caribbean. You didn't have that in Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, Haiti, and the Dominican Republic. You didn't have it. So they suffered a far more brutal slavery. So, excuse me, upon their freedom, and even during their enslavement, they knew education was key. And so even to this day, you have many West Indian families that push education before anything else. Before having money, they push education. I am from one of those families. I knew I was going to college by the time I was 2. I knew it. I didn't have a choice. And all through my life, from that time of 2 years old, I kept hearing, you're going to college. You're going to college and you're going to graduate. You're going to do well. You're going to college, you're going to graduate, and you do well. You're going to college and you're going to do all right. So what did I do? I went to college. I did all right. I graduated and da-da, I got my degree. But it was something that was ingrained in me from a baby. That is one of the differences between the Caribbean African and the American African. Unfortunately, with the American African, you don't get that push so much. Some people did, and it depended also, sorry to say, on your complexion, especially in America. Because the brown paper bag and the Blue Vein Society. What's the Blue Vein Society, Amina? The Blue Vein Society was a group of black people who were so light-skinned. The reason why they all came together as a group is if you could see their blue veins in their wrists. If you could see the blue veins, then you could be in because you were light enough. As Paul Mooney would say, you had the complexion for the protection. So a lot of light-skinned black families, they did very, very well in America post-slavery because they were able to, some of them were able to pass, and they seemed less intimidating than the darker-skinned people. And it's sad to say, but it's true. this is one of the reasons why when Frederick Douglass rose to fame, it was kind of odd because he wasn't light-skinned. But he was so eloquent and he was so stately that they couldn't deny him. So it's very interesting because, you know, our diaspora is wide. It is global. And what has happened to us in various places and spaces differentiate. So our psyche is different. How we look at each other is different. How we speak and say certain things is different. Excuse me. Even to this day, when I hear a black person talk about a lighter skinned person and they say that they're fair skinned, that is slavery coming out your mouth. Because to me, fair skin means anybody with pretty skin, which could be blue, black, to light. It doesn't make a difference if you have beautiful skin, not your color of your skin. And so when I hear black people to this day say fair-skinned, I know they don't even know what they're saying. They don't even realize that they are expressing a prejudice and trying to make it as if the lighter-skinned person is more fair, more comely, more pretty. So we got to stop that. To me, you're either light-skinned, brown-skinned, you're dark-skinned, or you're real dark, whatever. No. And some, yeah, high yellow can get in there sometimes too, but you will not hear me say, oh, she's fair-skinned. No, you won't. You know, same argument goes for hair, good hair and bad hair. I'm like, okay, whatever. We all have hair, some of us. So how you keep it and if you wash it and you can make it look nice, then okay, it's beautiful. But, you know, that good hair, that coolie hair, no, because your inference is towards your slave master. And a lot of y'all ain't get that out your head yet. And I love you with everything I got. But a lot of you all have not quite realized that the things that you do to yourself, you are subliminally trying to identify with the same white man that raped your great-grandmother. I hope that was clear. I'm not trying to offend anyone. You know, I always give thanks for going to the first African-American university in this country, which is Lincoln University in Pennsylvania. I always give thanks for that. It was at Lincoln that I found myself. It was at Lincoln where I grew up, and I fell deeper in love with myself. And I had friends from all over the world at Lincoln. You know, I hung out with the South African posse when apartheid was rampant, you know, and we staged all kind of things at school. But even when I was talking to my friends from South Africa and they would talk about colored, it was the opposite. Colored people were light people in Africa, in South Africa. To be colored meant that you had light skin. So it's interesting because that is all the way on the other side of the world, and it's backwards to us, right? When we say colored, colored is black people. Colored is brown-skinned people, right? But it's the opposite in South Africa because of what apartheid did to South Africa. And that was way more recent. So we have to be careful what we say, and I think we need to be careful with what we do. You know, there's no mistake that there is a million-dollar lawsuit underway right now, specifically for black women who received perms for decades and decades and received different types of cancers, ovarian cancer, breast cancer, all kind of cancer. Why? Because you're putting something so strong onto your skull cap that's going to straighten your hair, which means kill it. It's going to kill the natural follicle of your beautiful hair, which is the natural spiral helix of God, which is ether number 9. It's the highest ether. That is the spiral of our hair. And when you kill it, you cut your connection off. Some of you are so smart. That's fine. I know that. But your divine connection gets cut when you alter your natural self in that way. So I always was grateful. I had stopped perming my hair by my mid-20s because I graduated when I was 22. So I stopped perming my hair from that point. You know, I was like, I don't want to look like my slaveholder anymore. My hair is good, beautiful hair, and I'm going to wear my hair myself, whether it's braided, whether it's afro puff, whether it's whatever. And right now, I'm bald. I still have hair. So I want us to begin, especially as Black women, I want us to begin to detach from certain mores and folkways that we've been upholding for decades. You know, and no hate against Madam C.J. Walker. I know she was doing her thing. But at the same time, she helped to change the mentality of Black women to make them feel like if your hair is not straight, you're not pretty. And that is grossly untrue. So I got to give a shout out to my girl, Renee Cody, because she stopped perming her hair decades ago. She was like, I'm not going to perm my hair anymore, Mina. I'm gonna go natural. And she's adorable. You know, and I have other friends who just said, no, I'm going natural. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, so, you know, just think about it. Because if there's going to be a chemical so strong that you put on top of your skull cap that can give you cancer of your uterus and your ovaries, you might want to think again. You might want to think again. And there are ways to wear your hair naturally where you are very attractive and you're still in the business world and you can still do your thing as a CEO or a VP or whatever you do. All right? God knows I want us to stop wearing weaves, but I know we're a long way from that, but I wish. I'm going to pray for that still. all right. So, let's see. What I found interesting about the recent events with Trump, because, you know, right now the latest conversation is about how his lawyer is trying to say that he is utilizing his freedom of speech to be able to say what he wants to say. But, you know, right after he came out of court on Thursday, he had the nerve to say, if you get after me, I'm coming after you. Who are you talking to? And this is where I need all of the gullible white people to listen. Do not let him write a check with his mouth that your ass cannot cash. He done got y'all in a heap of trouble. Some of y'all sitting up in jail right now behind bars in an orange jumpsuit trying to figure out what went wrong because you followed his advice and you allowed yourself to get wrapped up in his soliloquy of madness to the point where you are now a felon. Some of y'all are sitting up in jail with Pookie and Ray Ray, and they may get your ass. So I know you've got to be in a stupor because the last thing that you thought, the morning of January 6th, gathered around the ellipse in the cold, with your little MAGA hats on and your mittens and everything, shouting and screaming and getting all excited, and then taking that long walk over to the Capitol. The last thing you thought would happen was that your ass was going to be in jail. I'm sure. I know it. Because white people don't go to jail voluntarily. So I know y'all did not think that you were going to wind up in jail. And now you're in jail. Prison. Again, I say, I know more and more are disconnecting themselves from Fecal Matter 45. I do know that. I see it. I hear it. I see it in different posts. There's a few white people on Instagram that give the greatest posts about American history and African history and African accomplishments and African-American inventions and achievements, and it's a beautiful thing to see. So I know all hope is not lost because Lord knows if you stay on the idiot box on TV, they're going to make you believe all hope is lost. It's really not. It is really not. So I'm also going to reiterate that this is not a political attack against Donald Trump. It is not a political attack. Just because he calls himself a politician does not make this a political attack. Why isn't it a political attack? Because he is a criminal. He has broken several laws at many different times in different states around this nation. So because he broke the law, he is being persecuted. He's not being persecuted because the DOJ doesn't like him. He is not being persecuted because the judges don't like him. He's not even being persecuted because Democrats don't like him. He's being persecuted because he broke the law several times in several places. Okay, January 6th is just one of them. The other one is the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels, and he tried to hide that in New York City. Then you have the classified documents case. And next up on the chopping block with our beautiful sister, Fani Lewis, the Attorney General in Georgia. Hi. You have election fraud. Okay? So he has allowed his mouth, his rhetoric, his lies to get him indicted. Okay? Whether he was gullible and just it was Rudy's idea or it was Mark Meadows' idea or somebody at Pat Cipollone's idea, whoever. He did it. He did it all. And so he's being persecuted because he broke the law. That is what happens. If one person decided to vote twice, they're going to go to jail. That's just one person. We are not talking about one person. We're talking about an individual who reached out to several governors in different, begging them to give him votes. We're talking about someone who knows full well he lost. Yes, he's a loser. He lost. He lost the election. But even with knowing the truth, he deliberately came out and lied and said, they stole it. It's a crooked election. And he is a liar. So he's being persecuted. He knew he lost. Even when he got up on stage at the Ellipse on January 6th and said they stole the election from him, he knew he lost and nothing was stolen from him. He won nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, he did not win the popular vote. He lost the popular vote by millions. And he lost the Electoral College vote. You know, here in America, you got the two. You got to win the two. And the Electoral College has more power over the common vote of every other person, which is how John Kerry and Al Gore lost before, which is how Hillary Clinton lost before. And y'all know I can't stand Hillary, but Lord knows, she didn't get up and lie. She didn't get up and say, it was stolen from me. They're liars, blah, 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 blah. She didn't say that. She conceded like every other normal human being. So what's interesting to me at this day and time, especially when it comes to the Republican Party, because Kevin McCarthy, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Josh Hawley, Matt Gaetz, you know, what's the other one who I can't stand? Jim Jordan. Ooh, Jim Jordan, Joe. They want to continue to push these lies, too. These are very divisive people. They must all be voted out of office. They are divisive. They are liars. And it is despicable behavior for any congressman, senator, vice president, for anybody to behave the way they're behaving because they know he lost. Now you're trying to defend him in his crimes. No, he committed crimes. He has behaved in illegal and unlawful dealings and behavior. And let us not forget the rape/sexual abuse case with E. Jean Carroll. He lost that. So it's a sad day in America to me, when you have all of these white people that want to have his back and try to defend him and whine and cry over these indictments when the man is a criminal? Could you imagine if Barack Obama even did one of these things? Could you imagine if Barack Obama had lost an election and didn't want to concede and had people like the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys and Moms for Liberty and all this crap behind him? Could you imagine? Could you imagine Barack Obama instigating an insurrection? Can you imagine if it was just black people on the steps of the Capitol that day? Baby, please. Talk about a double standard. Like, America always shows her ass to you. She really does. The skirt is up. So we as black people can see quite clearly how this goes. What is actually happening? Because I know that the Department of Justice is not, quote, out to get Donald Trump. No, they are pursuing crimes. This is what he did. Not just what he said, what he has done. Look at little Walt now. Look at little Waltine now, the little boo-boo holding umbrellas and stuff. Look at him. He is going to be under the bus. He's going to have tire tracks all over him. Because believe me, he might take the fall. He and the security guard, they might take the fall. They may do time. How come all these people can do time, but Donald Trump is sitting around playing a bad game of golf, eating a Big Mac? How is that? And I don't want to hear about money. I know how things can be with money. But if that's the case, then what's the child's name? Jared's father wouldn't have never got arrested. Okay? Bernie Madoff would have never went to jail if that was the case. So it ain't all about money all the time. And one thing I know about America, you commit a crime, you go to jail. Martha Stewart went to jail for tax evasion. The mother of needlepointing and making pound cake went to jail. She's a millionaire. Martha then did her time, came out, and she's still baking and knitting and doing things. Awesome. So if all those people can go to jail, and they're white people, rich white people, then his ass can go too. And it just so happens that, yeah, it's 2023. Black people have made amazing advances when it comes to gaining position in the law and in the courts and what have you. So, yes, we have black Jamaican, Dominican judges. We have, I mean, not Dominican, excuse me, black Jamaican judges. We have a lot of female judges. We have black DAs. Yes, we do. We got black AGs. Yes, we do. And that's what I meant to say. District Attorney Alvin Bragg, okay? But Lord knows, Attorney General Letitia James in New York State, she ain't playing no games. So Fannie Lewis ain't playing no games either. And I'm quite sure that Judge Chutkan is not going to play no games. They wanted to get the case, they wanted to change the venue, that's what it's called, because, you know, he doesn't want to have to deal with a black judge, black female judge. Oh, well, you lost. You're going to have to face the music. So it's going to be interesting. A lot is happening. It is going to be very, very interesting because not only has this never, ever happened in American history ever, excuse me, and we're talking about a over 200-year or 200-year-old country based on the quote-unquote Constitution, et cetera. We have never seen anything like this. The closest the drama ever came was Richard Nixon, and he was pardoned, but Nixon looks like a choir boy next to this one right here. So I'm hoping the smackdown gonna come from one of them states because they're not done yet. And Fannie Lewis has got her game up. She has stated quite plainly, they're ready. Okay, she ready. And it's just, it's not going to be pretty. None of these cases are attractive. None of them are cases where it's easy to wiggle your way out of the trouble that you're in. So I'm just like, okay. And a little bird, Jesus, somebody needs to tap this fool on the shoulder and tell him to shut up. Because his behavior is reckless. It is reckless behavior. It gets people hurt. And he is the one responsible. So as wild and reckless as he's been, you know, let's go back to the recording, the audio recording of him just running his mouth with the author of a book that she was writing about, either, was it about Pence or Mark Meadows? But she wasn't writing a book about him. But of course, he's going to make it all about himself because he's narcissistic. So he's just flapping his gums. I believe, what's her name? Was there the other one? There was another woman that was present, Sidney Powell. And whoever's recording this is recording this. This is what's interesting to me because there are tapes everywhere. And he's talking about, you know, look at the documents. He's showing them to them. They do not have security clearance to be able to view any of these documents. He claims that they were all classified because he just waved his little tiny magical hand over a pile of boxes and declassified stuff. That's not how things are declassified. I just need you to understand that. Presidential acts do not enable former presidents to hold on to whatever the hell they want to hold on to just because they want to, or because they've been busy running around playing golf and trying to get up Putin's ass and not going through the materials, so they just take everything back to the house and say, I'll get to it eventually. No, that's not what happens, okay? Also, when you do have classified documents or declassified documents in your possession as a former president, they are to be held in a secretive type of container. It has a name, a skid or something like that. And ballrooms, bathrooms, closets do not classify as being containment areas to hold declassified or classified documents. So the whole mess of the case unto itself. And the judge on that case was appointed by Trump. I believe her name is Judge Eileen Cannon. But she has to be very, very careful because she already voted twice before on in favor of him, and she got scolded by the circuit court judges in Florida. So I don't think she wants to get scolded again, and this is a very serious situation. You cannot hold classified documents. You cannot show classified documents to civilians who don't have clearance. So, again, he's just in deeper and deeper hot water, and he wants to cry over mistakes that he willingly made because he knew he wasn't, just like he knew he lost and shouldn't get up on the microphone or podium and talk about they stole the election from me. He knows that he raped Eugene Carroll in the dressing room of Bergdorf Goodman many years ago in the 90s. He knows he did that because he sexually accosts women all the time. So he knows it. So now he just wants to cry about it. And it's really, really sad because it just looks like he's just trying to save his toupee and paste another sorry lie on top of allegations that are continuously made against him. He continues to say that he didn't do anything wrong. You're all wrong. So we'll see what happens. To me, he's making prosecution's job very easy, and he is a royal nightmare for his defense attorney team. I would never take a case like this. I would never, ever take a case like this. I don't care how much money was involved. I would not take a case to defend Donald J. Trump. I would not. I would not. And he likes to act like he's not racist. he'll throw a black person up in a minute, or have a bunch of black people who he probably paid checks to that are wearing Blacks for Trump T-shirts. Excuse me. And, you know, he'll just make it seem like, you know, oh, I have black friends or whatever, like he did with Herschel Walker in the last election, which was a farce. But it still came out that his own father was arrested at a KKK rally in New York City in 1929 or so. And he was arrested for not leaving the crowd, not dispersing from the crowd. The police came, they told the crowd to disperse, people didn't leave, and he was one of them, and so he got arrested. Meanwhile, Donald Trump likes to deny that story, but it's a true story. Donald Trump's father was involved in a KKK march, and his ass got arrested. As again, I continue to say, there's only one truth. It does exist. If you dig deep enough, you will find it. So as far as I'm concerned, he and his father are like apples and trees. His father didn't really like him anyway. His mother couldn't stand him. That's why they put him in military school. He could never play a sport. He got his father got his doctor to write a letter for him to disqualify him to serve in any armed force. So he knows nothing about combat. He knows nothing about drills. He evidently knows nothing about running. Physically running. it's sad. It's really sad. And I think what bugs me out the most is that he gets the grossest amount of attention on television. If I had a network, I'd probably talk about him maybe, you know, twice a week. But he would not be my top story tonight. Not really. Like, the Alabama brawl at the ferry was bigger news to me than this fool. Just saying. So we're going to see how it all goes down. We're going to see what happens. But it's very, yes, indeed, Tree. Yeah, my sister Tree just hit me up. She was like, just like he disassociated himself from Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah, after Epstein, you know, gets arrested. But he knew because he participated himself. Like, again, look at his wife. Even though don't nobody know where she is right now. Like, with it's like, where's Waldo? The question is, where's Melania? Where is Melania? Because we ain't heard a peep out of Melania in a long time. I'm like, where is she? Where's Darren? Where are they? To me, she's disassociated herself from her own husband. But it's interesting because I do have the photograph of Donald Trump, a drunk or high Melania, very, very young, Jeffrey Epstein, and Ghislaine Maxwell. I have that photograph. Melania looks high as hell. And we already know from Dupre, who was like 15, 16 at the time, being forced to have sex with Prince Edward and a host of others. So these people run together. Like, you can't have a pedo island if you don't have pedophiles. You know, and the whole sex trafficking business these days, it's out of control. But Trump and Jeffrey Epstein were pals because they were probably tossing chicks together anyway. Donald is that kind of guy. Can't tell me he's not. So, you know, excuse me. Now, what I'm kind of hoping, because I know that the judge, Judge Chuckin, received a request from Special Counsel Jack Smith and the prosecution to order Trump to not be able to discuss information surrounding the cases, any of them, or any individuals involved or anything like that, and to not pressure witnesses or other people involved in the trial. What's interesting to me is that his defense counsel had up until 5 o'clock today to respond. Now, I didn't find out if they did or not because I was getting ready for the show, but it's interesting. And there was another judge on television the other night, black female judge, retired, and she said if it was her court, she would hold him in contempt and place him in jail for up to 5 days so he could think about it for a minute. And I was like, oh, that would be great. That would be great. Put him in the pokey. Let him feel what it's like, because he's a criminal, and he believes to be, he needs to be where criminals reside, and most of them are in jail. So he needs to be there. Now, okay, this next topic of discussion, I'm going to have a little water for a moment, because this is very important, and I'm putting my disclaimer out there first. I do not mean to offend or upset anyone. Again, I continue to express that knowledge is power, and when you have it, you are more powerful. You need knowledge. So I received an amazing video from my girl, Sister Tree. I know she's on tonight. Peace and love, queen. It was a video conference on YouTube, and it was entitled COVID is Genocide - A Biological Warfare Crime. Dr. David Martin speaks to the European Parliament. So we're not just talking about a little meeting. We're not just talking about a gathering of people somewhere in the forest. We're talking about an actual conference and hearing that was held at the European Parliament. According to Dr. David Martin, at a medical conference with the European Parliament in London, states that from 1913, the U.S. began looking at coronavirus. Yes, I said 1913. Stay with me. They were looking at coronavirus as a model, again, in 1965. In 1965, it was isolated and identified as a pathogen and could be used to modify a series of other experiences in the human condition. 1966, 57 years ago, they began data research on coronavirus officially. It was used as a transatlantic biological pathogen experiment against humans. Yes, I said against. In 1967, they did the first experiments on inoculation in humans against coronavirus. Yes, in 1967. Now, the common cold was turned into a chimera. In the 1970s, the U.S. began attempting to create vaccines for coronavirus, so dogs and pigs began suffering from gastrointestinal diseases as a result of this coronavirus vaccine. And this is what pushed Pfizer to create a real vaccine, and the government patented the virus in 1990. So yes, coronavirus was patented in 1990. I've talked about this before, but I'm continuing because I really need you all to understand what this plan has been about. At the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, from 1990 to 2019, scientists knew that coronavirus would not be able to have an effective vaccine because coronavirus mutates so fast that no real vaccine would work. Basically, if they create one vaccine, then the virus mutates to a point where that vaccine is no longer effective, which we have seen quite clearly with regard to the different strains of coronavirus that have erupted since 2019. All of the data shows that their vaccines did not work. Nothing they created worked against coronavirus. Now, this data is public, and it is the actual science. They then created an infectious replication, defective clone of coronavirus in 2002. So this is what made it a weapon. Okay, an infectious replication, defective clone. This is when they made it a weapon. It was something meant to target an individual, but not have collateral damage with other individuals. NAIAD, Dr. Fauci, from 1990 to 2002, they created and engineered SARS and patented it in 2002. So SARS was patented in 2002 and coronavirus was patented in 1990. Stay with me. Now, coronavirus nor SARS are natural occurring viruses. The natural occurring virus is the common cold. So they downloaded a sequence formula from China and filed a patent in the U.S. And then they patented COVID-19 in 2003. The patent application had been denied twice, but the CDC, yes, the Centers for Disease, whatever, CDC, bribed the patent office to override the patent examiner in 2007. Now, this was an actual crime. In 2005, it was described as a biowarfare agent. Please stay with me. A weapon enabling technology against humans to attack and kill humans. It's a crime. As I also stated to you all before, the RT-PCR test used to identify the risks associated with coronavirus was identified as bioterrorism. It's a bioterroristic threat, and it was done in 2002 and 2003 by Dr. Martin himself. He was the one who researched it and labeled it a bioterrorism threat. It was also labeled as a biowarfare weapon agent against humanity. In 2005, it was labeled as a bioterrorism and bioweapon platform technology. From 2005 onward, it was labeled as a biowarfare enabling agent. That is the official classification. Over $10 billion of our tax dollars have been used with black ops groups for this whole thing since 2005. Now, as I mentioned to you before, gain-of-function research was on a moratorium until 2014 at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, when it was suspended and received exemptions in a letter from the NAIAD stating that because of their grants being funded, gain-of-function research was no longer suspended because their grants had been funded. They received an exemption. Information was released stating that SARS coronavirus is poised for human emergence in 2016. The WIV1, which is the Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1, then began to hear in September 2019, there's going to be an accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen. This was 7 months before patient one. They were pushing for a universal vaccine template, and the intent was to use coronavirus to get there. Now, this is exactly what Dr. Judy Mikovits had said at the beginning of COVID. I had even bought her book, Plague of Corruption, by herself, Dr. Judy Mikovits, and Dr. John Heckenlively, an amazing book, because she worked at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, during the time of the AIDS epidemic and into all this gain-of-function study, and she knew it was against the law. She had written a paper that they stole from her, and they threw her in jail. So again, COVID-19 was not from a wet market in Wuhan. There were no reptiles or bats or penguins. It was a violation of biological and chemical weapons treaties. So nature was basically hijacked. And from 1965, when they began manipulating the virus, it was in violation of everything. The heist was on. And they also knew that it was going to be a financial deception. Again, billions of our tax dollars went into black ops groups researching this and creating this bio warfare against humanity. And you might say, well, why? Again, I say, we have unfortunate and very nefarious forces that are at work. You have individuals with way too much money and too much time and too much fear. And so a lot of them believe that there are too many humans on the planet. Meanwhile, we're just fine without manipulation. But they want to kill off billions of people. And I'm not trying to sound like Debbie Downer. It's just what it is. And it's working. So I was urging you to be careful. I urge those of you who have already began your vaccination process to please halt getting boosters and getting updates and all this kind of stuff. Please just don't do it to yourself. Okay? You've done enough if you've already gotten your first dose. Okay? There are a lot of people who died on site getting their first and second doses. Please be careful. If you get an opportunity, you can look up Dr. Judy Mikovits. She's on Instagram as well, and she's on Facebook. She also has a website. You can also look up Dr. Tenpenny. They are coming out with different detox programs so people can try to get this stuff out of their system. Now, this is the wild part. A nanotechnology within the vaccine, it attaches itself to blood particles, it destroys your immune system, and it begins to set up its own network in your body. So it then has a connection to the internet. And people can become programmed to do certain things just by the stroke of a keyboard because they have taken that particular vaccine. The nanotechnology, they're nanoparticles that have their own intelligence, but that intelligence can be hooked up to the World Wide Web. And yes, that is what Dr. Rashid Buttar spoke about before he was murdered because they murdered him. That man was healthy as a horse. So be wise, okay? Protect your temple and be wise because I will continue to say, anything they keep rushing around to give your ass for free, whether it's the shingles vaccine with Shingrix or the COVID-19 vaccine, whatever, please be careful. This government ain't never tried to do nothing nice for your ass for free. You need to realize that. You need to stop being gullible and think that they really care about you. They don't give a flying flim-flam filth about you. I don't even have time right now to talk to you about your birth certificate and your universal commercial code on your birth certificate, which opened up a bank account because you're an actual corporation when your name is in capital letters, which it is on your birth certificate. And the Treasury takes out money and has money under your name as a corporation that you have no idea exists. Billions of dollars. As soon as you're born and your mother signs your birth certificate, you are assigned a number. That number goes to the universal commercial code. And that number gets a bank account in the name of you as a corporation, and your ass don't know nothing about it. So please don't act like these people love you when they care. Please don't do that. All right? Protect your neck, as we say in the hood. Stay woke, as we like to say. Please, your life does depend on it. I may have to do a whole nother episode on the Uniform Commercial Code. Not universal, sorry. Uniform Commercial Code, the UCC. Because when an individual becomes sovereign and indigenous, then you get a completely different driver's license, passport. Everything is different. Everything is different. And if you could find a way, I'm going to find some people to talk about it, to tap into your UCC account once you become sovereign, baby, you can handle your business. So you've got to be careful, because the devil is coming in many forms, and he is finding ways to steal your soul, and you don't even recognize it. I'm telling you, the war between God and Satan has been alive for centuries, for decades, for millennia. For millennia, thousands of years. That war has not ended. And the children of God, the Aboriginal people of this planet, we especially have to be careful about what we do. So when they were giving out joints and pizza and burgers and beer for you to get a vaccine, your ass should have taken notes then. You should have realized something was up at that point. When the man wants to give you free weed, please, you better be careful. So, you know, this is going to go into the archives of the My Project Neo Network on Blog Talk. If you need to go back and listen to this again, or if you need to play it for a family member or somebody else, please do so. Okay? Please do so. And Tree, don't get me started on cloning, because that's a whole other episode as well. Again, I ain't got time to talk about the cloning, even though it is happening. You know, but and y'all need to check out that movie on Netflix that they cloned Tyrone. It's a movie on Netflix. Check that bad boy out. Please check it out when you get a chance. All right? So I just, you know, again, you must be aware of what is going on. We have to understand what is happening, okay? Again, I say, and I know Sister Tree just said it as well, our health is our wealth. Take care of yourself. I know a lot of us are real sugared up. You got to be careful with the sugar. You know, it's done a lot with diabetes and different things. In us especially, I guess, I don't know if it's our genetic makeup that enables us to have diabetes at a higher rate, but we got to be careful. I wrote a little poem. It's just a little, it's small, but just, you know, bear with me. I said, sugar, sugar, oh so sweet. Sugar, sugar, but you mustn't eat. The burns received trying to cook it down left scars so deep my skin changed from white. My skin changed to white from brown. Sugar, sugar, sent all around the world. But do they know the sweet cane is picked by little black boys and little black girls? Sugar, sugar, white gold of the islands. Sugar, sugar, white cane makes wealth. Sugar, sugar, black pain remains stealth. And now sugar, sugar is killing our health. Family. You know, we live in a society where you should be, you know, they're like, oh, you can have whatever you want. You can indulge in whatever you want. You can do whatever you want to do. But we got to be careful with that. You know, when I look back on ancient societies and the laws of nature, not the laws of man, the laws of nature. If you obey the laws of nature, you don't need the laws of man. But because we have entities on this earth, our last, that are devoid of soul in some instances, that are begotten of wicked energies. And many of those entities have billions of dollars. And so they get to wreak havoc on the rest of us. If I look at the Satanist, Bill Gates, he doesn't buy up farmland to create healthy fruits and vegetables for us, a nourishment and what. No, he doesn't do that. He buys up land to poison it. He buys up land to promote Monsanto and GMO and cloned meat. Did you know that our government just passed a rule that said they could sell cloned meat? Then my husband tells me last week an article came out that meat is killing people. I wondered why. I mean, we got to be careful with corn. As benevolent as corn used to be, Monsanto has found a way to put a certain chemical in corn that sterilizes black men. Sterilizes. Corn. Regular yellow corn. GMO corn can sterilize a black man. Okay? Also, yes, soy. We should not eat soy. Number one, soy shrinks the phallus of a man. It decreases sperm count, and it literally shrinks the penis of a man. Soy is not good. Soy also in the body. We should not be eating soy. And I'm not talking about soy sauce. I'm talking about soy, those little white blocks that you can make into whatever you want to make. We shouldn't be eating soy, okay? So we've got to be aware. We've got to be careful, okay? We've got to watch after each other, like I said. I am my brother's and my sister's keeper. I love my people. I need us to be aware, and I need us to love each other. And I mean love each other real hard. Real hard. I said it at the memorial on Saturday. I said, do not be afraid to love. And don't be afraid to love hard. The only one watching that really matters is God. I love everybody. I wish happiness and peace and love and joy to everyone. Everyone, everywhere. Sometimes I feel like if my oppressor had more love and joy in their heart, they wouldn't be oppressive. Because to be oppressive is to be afraid. I don't want to control anybody. The only person I need to control is myself. I can guide, I can love, I can teach. But I cannot control, and I don't seek to control. So we got to do better with that. We have to do better. I love y'all. I thank y'all so much for being with me tonight. I appreciate each and every one of you for being on tonight. Sister Dawn, Brother Tumba, my husband, of course, Dr. Winborn, everybody, I love you. I thank you so much for being on tonight. Sister Tree, thank you always for giving us love and light. Again, the gathering is this Saturday, the 12th, in East Stroudsburg. Tree, I'm going to send you the flyer. It's at Mad Apples. You can just come to Mad Apples from 12 noon on. We're there. We got vendors, food, fun, music, everything. Come on out and have a good time. What else? Yeah, and be good, family. Be good. Like the Greg Reporter song, be good. You know, watch out for each other. Protect the babies and the elderly and be a good human being. Also, my husband got a new mix out on SoundCloud, The Chain. This mix is so fly, you're going to lose your mind, okay? So check out DJ Pitch Control on SoundCloud, PYTCHCONTROLL. The latest mix is straight fire. Enjoy yourself. You know, be love and light, family. Take care of each other out there. Thank you so much for being with me tonight. I love you. I wish you all a great week ahead. Have a beautiful week. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to all the Leos. Happy birthday, Rhonda. Happy birthday, Naisha. Happy birthday, Kiana. Happy birthday to all the Leos. Tisha, all the Leos. Happy birthday, y'all. All right. Love you, fam. Peace and blessings. One love.